We will continue our scripture reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. We read the verses 46 through 55. The Song of Mary. Luke chapter 1, the verses 46 through 55. And there we read God's holy word. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he hath regarded the low estate for his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm, he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." So far the reading of God's word. The text for the sermon do you find in the part we read this evening, Luke chapter 1, and we read the verses 46, 47, and the first part of 48. 46 through 48, the first words, and we'll read these verses again. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he hath regarded the low estate for his handmaiden." Beloved congregation, do you like to sing? Do you like to sing about God's great and wonderful works? It should strike us that we read in the Gospel of Luke many times about people who sing a song. The Song of Mary is the first one. But beyond this, we hear a song of Zacharias. And just after the birth of the Lord Jesus, angels sang too. A legion of angels came to the shepherds in the fields of Ephrata and sang a beautiful song to the glory of God. And all these songs are full of worship. And what about the song of Elizabeth? Her heart was filled with joy when she met Mary. Simeon and Anna sang prophetically about the Savior, and they praised God. It's remarkable that the birth of the Lord Jesus is surrounded with many songs. Mary sang as well. And this evening we start listening to her hymn with the words of verse 46 through 48, the first words of verse 48. And we write above the sermon, the Song of Mary, the Song of Mary. First of all, is an amen to God's word. Secondly, was sung in humility. And thirdly, is a hymn of joy. The Song of Mary is an amen to God's word, was a song in humility, is a hymn of joy. The reason Mary starts singing all has to do with the message she had received from the angel Gabriel. We heard about it last Lord's Day. The angel had appeared to Mary and had proclaimed a wonderful message to her, as we read in Luke 1, the verses 30 through 33. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Far-reaching things were being told her. But her answer was quite simple. She answered in faith. She accepted the message, trusting in the Lord. She did not act like Zacharias. He answered Gabriel, "Whereby shall I know this?" She did not ask for confirmation. She did not even ask for a sign like Gideon. As we have seen in our study of the judge Gideon, he asked for a sign. He proved God's word with the fleece of wool twice. He did so not out of unbelief, but because of the great responsibility that rested on him and because of his small faith. And we would have understood Mary very well if she asked for a sign as well. But she did not. She accepted the word spoken by the angel. She believed it to be a word from God. She accepted it in faith. Her attitude was simple and at the same time deeply spiritual. She agreed with God's word. What a blessing to accept God's mighty word while you are still young. To accept God's word from your youth. Because when you become older, many objections may arise. The older you are, the more objections you encounter. Solomon encouraged the youth to seek the Lord while they are young. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Mary remembered her Creator. She had confidence in the Lord. Young people, pray the Lord continually for this blessing, to get to know the Lord while you are young. Mary was in need for more instruction. Was in need of more instruction. She asked the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She was not married yet. She was espoused to Joseph, but she did not yet live together with him. Mary desired to be clean till the wedding day. How can she become pregnant? But the angel explained to her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Many forerunners of the Lord Jesus were born in uncommon circumstances. Several mothers of these forerunners were barren. The first mother of the covenant of grace, Sarah, was barren. Rebecca and Isaac had beseeched the Lord for a son for 20 years. Rebecca was barren and Hannah wrestled in prayer for a son. She gave birth to Samuel, and the mother of Samson had prayed with her husband Manoah for a child. An angel proclaimed to her and her husband that they would bring birth a Nazarite unto God. He was also a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see various unusual births which all pointed to the special birth of the coming Messiah, namely the birth from a virgin. In this way, the Lord provided a miracle, namely that an unclean brings forth a clean thing. A miracle that was impossible according to the words of Job. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. But when God sends His beloved Son in this world, things happen that are impossible with man. The Messiah had to be born, for only in this way could He bear the burden of all sins of His people. He has to be born, like all people. Their sins from the very beginning of life till the end, He bared that all. He became very man from the very beginning. And for that reason, He can still cover sin from the very beginning. Mary listened to the word of the angel and answered, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." She said, "Amen to the word of the Lord." Did you do that already? Did God's word already fill your heart? Have you been captured by His word? The Lord captures His people by the power of His majesty. Faith in His word means that the Lord writes His word in your heart in order that you will bow and surrender. That is what we need in this week of preparation. God's word points to your sins and uncovers the sinfulness of sin. And then you agree with God's word about His faithful promise. The promises of God that are sure. And when that happens, you will be ruled by His word. You will be filled with the desire to live before the Lord and to know His way and will. When we look carefully at Mary's life, we notice that she did no more than listen. And that is an important mark of true faith. We have to examine ourselves with the question whether we know this exercise. True preparation before the Lord's Supper starts with and ends with listening. That means listening to and acknowledging God's truth. That is the first thing you learn at the school of faith. It always starts with God's revelation. And when the Holy Spirit applies His words to your heart, you start to think biblically. You want to speak well of the Lord. You desire to be ruled by God's word. And in this way, the Lord teaches you more about who you are and who God is. And this happened in Mary's life. She started singing about God's mighty works. And she used words not from her own, but from the Old Testament. There are many comparisons with the song of Hannah. We read parts which are from the Psalms as well. Do you notice with me that Mary was a young woman that knew her Bible very well? She was quite familiar with the Old Testament, so that she could dig up lovely and rich words. For sure, it was by the Holy Spirit that she was able to compose this hymn. But the Holy Spirit uses all the gifts of man. That means that she had studied the Word of God. She has learned to meditate on it in prayer. She had learned to wrestle with God's promises before the throne of grace. And now she used these familiar words to sing a hymn. Listen carefully to verse 46. Mary praises the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify. That is not something natural for us, to magnify God. By nature, we do not serve Him. We rather prefer to magnify ourselves. Have you noticed that already? What are the results of your desires? Your desire to show through thankfulness to God in your whole life? Maybe you had a strong desire to magnify His name after the last celebration of the Lord's table. But very soon thereafter, you were occupied again with daily worries. The sensitive nearness of the Lord you experienced has vanished. Maybe someone says, to magnify God in my daily life seems an impossible task to me. More and more I discover that I cannot magnify God as He deserves, even for one day, not even for 1 hour. And during my devotions, I'm so easily distracted by my own thoughts. In my daily task, I am so easily filled with the things of temporal life. I wander so easily from God, while I know that God's service never disappoints. Paul writes in his epistle to the Philippians, "For our conversation is in heaven." But I see another reality in my life, namely that my conversation is on earth. Those who attend the Lord's table, do you recognize this? You doubt whether you possess true faith? So many sins remain in your heart. We were encouraged by some sweet experiences, but the experiences are gone and you feel that spiritual life has become dry and dull. Listen carefully to Mary. What was she singing? She started singing about God. We can read verse 46 in different ways. We can read, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Or, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Do you know what the focus of unbelief is? To my soul. Your own experiences in the soul are enough for unbelief. But what does true faith do? True faith is only satisfied with Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Unbelief sees confirmation in own experiences. True faith seeks assurance out Himself, in the Lord Jesus Christ. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Yes, my soul. Those are not my feelings in the first place. Neither is my soul my mind alone. My soul is not just a hazy thing. My soul is my life. It's my thinking, acting, the place I make decisions, my feelings as well. Everything that has to do with my innermost being. How can I magnify the Lord? Scripture teaches us that no place in the soul of man is of limits for God. But by nature, our heart is closed. And that's true. So, what is needed first? I have to die to myself. You cannot magnify God but by becoming smaller in yourself. John the Baptist preached, "He must increase, but I must decrease." That means that I have to mortify the old man. That means a lifelong dying process of my ego. It is the mortification of every support beyond God's word. The mortification of my own feelings, own experiences. Yes, even the mortification of my conversion, as long I think that my conversion makes me suitable to attend the Lord's table. You need the mortification of the old man in order that you may gain Christ. And then you start singing, "Whom have I, Lord, but Thee on high? None else on earth can satisfy. But Thou, O God, my soul's deep yearning, for Thee my troubled heart is burning. Though flesh should faint and heart should break, Thou art my rock that naught can shake. In life, in death, Thou art my stay, my strength, my portion, Lord, for aye." This is signed and sealed in bread and wine. The sign points to my misery because of my sin and curse. When the Spirit applies this to your heart, you will experience that you are unworthy of any blessing. Who am I before this caring shepherd? I have to die to myself. I need to mortify the deeds of the body by the power of the Spirit. How easily do I take all His blessings for granted? How inclined I am to rebel against God's instructions. No desires to magnify God are left. I need to humble myself before the Lord again. I need to humble myself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt me. And Mary knew this. She magnified God, for He came to her. For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden, as we read in verse 48, the first words. What does Mary mean to say? First of all, that the dynasty of David was humiliated. What was left of David's posterity? She belonged to the tribe of Judah, but of David's throne nothing was left. She lived in humble circumstances. She lived in Nazareth, a despised town. We hear Nathaniel saying, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" But it has a spiritual meaning as well. Mary did consider herself as a woman of low estate. She knew what it was to be humbled by the Lord. "He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree," do we read in verse 52. Maybe that is the reason you must go away of disappointments. Maybe the course of your life is different than you had ever expected. God can use disappointments and difficulties to bring you off your pride. The Lord will use it to teach us humility. Maybe you have fallen into a certain sin, and you have to deal the consequences daily. God can use these consequences to keep you small, so that you learn to be humble yourself before the Lord time and again. The Lord can sanctify the consequences of sin in order that you experience that you have nothing but sin. To those the Lord grants His mercy. To those who have nothing and cannot do anything, He is willing to show His mercy to them. And Mary knew this spiritual lesson. The Lord looked upon her in mercy. He gave her a special position in the history of salvation. Mary will be the mother of the promised Messiah. but that did not make her proud. No, she marveled about it and bowed before the Lord in humility. God seeks the humble person, the small, the despised person. Jehovah looketh from on high with kindly eye upon the lowly. If you learn this, are you amazed about the miracle that God asks for you? Or did you never hear the voice of the Lord through His word, visiting you with the gospel for sinners? You will not hear His voice if you do not know something of Mary's humility, humbleness, learned by the power of the Spirit. Maybe someone asks, am I able to learn this? God's mercy seems unapproachable to me. Forgiveness of sin is such a big thing. I really do not know how I can become a partaker of this mercy. It's not a question what you can, but rather what you cannot. God knows everything about man. He has descended into the depths to save the greatest sinner. You still do not know His mercy? Maybe you are still high-minded. It could be that you live unrepentantly with your humble pride. The Lord grants mercy to the humble ones. No miserable one is ever rejected by the Lord, but the proud, like the Pharisees and the scribes who did not want to bow. They remained outside the kingdom of God. But as Zacharias and Bartimaeus, the bleeding woman, the murderer on the cross, the Lord came to them all, and none called out to Him in vain. What a blessing when you take, refuge to the Lord. When you know that the Lord is a refuge, a rock, the horn of salvation, then you come like Tub Lady wrote, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. You will never be put to shame. This is uncovering teaching and comforting, too, in a week of preparation. Do not consider with yourself whether you know this or not. I hope you will come to an end with your self-assessments, in order that you would flee to Him with all your sin and guilt, with all your shortcoming and ignorance. He is willing to accept sinners in mercy alone. You have to lose everything so to live on God's mercy. You cannot rule your own life anymore. The Lord Jesus says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Yes, but that is not a sweet message. That means that I have to give up everything, that I have to mortify my ego. That's not nice. It is oppressive, negative, and burdensome. This brings no joy in life. It feels like a yoke on my shoulders. Is this really true? Just ask Mary. After she had humbled herself before the Lord, she says, or better, sings, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Mary rejoiced in God. Mary, a young woman who was barely 16 years old, rejoicing in God is not the happiness of this world. Following Jesus does not bring happiness to the flesh. On the contrary, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And Paul says, I die daily. He testifies, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. A Christian life is not without suffering. It's a struggle. You have to strive to enter in at the straight gate. And maybe you wonder, what is the joy of serving the Lord? It is true, when the Spirit works with His power in your life, then everything turns upside down. That is true. But please pay attention to the focus of Mary's joy. My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. Mary had to die to herself. But what remained, or better, who remained? God, her Savior. With God, you have everything. He is the source of joy. God was with her. God was with her. And that was enough. More than enough. And when you know this by faith, you long to experience that all the time. But these moments are mostly short. Not because God is not merciful or that He withholds His hand to grant mercy. No, rather it is because you are high-minded and proud. But the exercise of faith gives joy. You rejoice in God when you seek Him with expectation. More joy from Thee has filled my heart than great abundance could impart. Mary sang about it. She sang of her joy in God, her Savior. He was it who perfected her salvation. She sang this hymn while she knew that her way would not be easy. She would be reviled and mocked when everyone would notice her pregnancy. No one would think that she is to bring forth the promised Messiah. People will have other thoughts, reproachful thoughts. But Mary does not worry about this at all. We see experienced something which the Apostle Paul wrote later. The suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Mary accepted in faith. Maybe we should add to this that she learned that only in God's salvation, especially in her difficult way. It can be so today as well. For your own experience, you are in the depth of unbelief, the depth of guilt, the depth of affliction. You long to take part in the salvation of the Lord Jesus, but you do not know how. What a blessing when you discover that the Lord wants to teach you to lose everything in order that you may rejoice in God. God teaches this His people at table. He exercises His people in trusting Him. And when His children ate at the table, seeing through the eyes of faith the bread broken and the wine shed, joy fills their hearts. Joy because of the love He reveals to them. He desires to confirm His love at the table of the covenant. Do you know something of this joy? Maybe a long time ago. Seek it with the Lord. Ask Him in a continual prayer to revive the listless and weak faith. The soul that is revived will rejoice in God, not only after the struggle, but already in the midst of the struggle. Paul had learned by grace to glory in the cross in order to discover the glory of Christ. A wonderful gospel. What is the glory of Christ to a poor, doubting sinner? That Christ, though He was rich, became poor. That He has come not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Mary magnified God, her Savior. He saved her without anything of her. It was God's work from the beginning till the end. He has borne the burden of sin of His people to the accursed cross of Calvary. He has put down the mighty from their lofty seats. He has merited the work of the Spirit and sends Him out in the hearts of sinners. He carries and saves His people. Mary rejoiced in Him, her Savior. Not because of her humility, not because of who He is, but because of who He is. Not because of her dignity, but out of grace alone. The Lord desires to meet them at the table. He wants to strengthen those who are weak and to comfort those who mourn about their sins. It is one of the means whereby God seeks to sustain His children, to let them eat and drink from the meal of joy, the joy of having communion with Him, the joy of bearing fruit to His glory, to provide joy in God. Amen.